From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's broadcast, we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Sure-Footedness. The text is found in Habakkuk 3, verse 19. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. This confidence of the man of God is tantamount to a promise, for that which faith is persuaded of is the purpose of God. The prophet had to traverse the deep places of poverty and famine, but he went downhill without slipping, for the Lord gave him standing. By and by he was called to the high places of the hills of conflict, and he was no more afraid to go up than to go down. See, the Lord lent him strength. Nay, Jehovah himself was his strength. Think of that. The Almighty God himself becomes our strength. Note that the Lord also gave him sure-footedness. The hinds leap over rock and crag, never missing their footing. Our Lord will give us grace to follow the most difficult paths of duty without a stumble. He can fit our foot for the crags so that we shall be at home, where apart from God we should perish. One of these days we shall be called to higher places still. Up yonder we shall climb, even to the Mount of God, the high places where the Shining Ones are gathered. Oh, what feet are the feet of faith, by which, following the hind of the morning, we shall ascend into the hill of the Lord.
Uncertain, though the path we travel be unknown, our God has given an assurance. We can have peace, we can have joy, we can be strong. Secure within His hands. He is our joy, our hope of life eternal. He is the rock, the solid rock on which we stand. Even when I cannot see tomorrow, His word is like up unto my feet. And when the laughter turns to sorrow, embrace, we find His grace when we are weak. He is our strength. He is our fortress. We can be sure we are secure within His hands. He is our joy. We stand, and when the storms of life surround me, and when the winds of sorrow blow, I will hold on to the rock of ages, for I know this one thing.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Just Deserts of Sinners. another treatment of the theme, the principles of divine judgment. The text is found in verses 6 through 10 of chapter 2, which speak of God rendering to every man according to his deeds. Starting with verse 8, the passage reveals the awful judgment of those that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. Their fate is to suffer the wrath of God. These verses show the true state of sinners before a holy God. They are contentious, that is, they fight against God. In addition, they do not obey the truth, even though they know it. As we'll see, what sinners have rejected in time, they will receive in eternity. In the everlasting flames of hell, sinners will realize that they are suffering the just displeasure of God. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, The Just Deserts of Sinners.
Do you see how Paul is carefully using words here? If you or I had been writing this, we'd have said they don't obey the truth, but they do obey the lie. That would be true enough, wouldn't it? But that's not what he says. They obey unrighteousness. That takes you right back to chapter 1 and verse 18, where the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Those are the two aspects of the guilty nature of the sinner. And what Paul is saying is, these people in disobeying the truth of God are acting with the evil principle of unrighteousness in hearing him and giving power to everything they say and do. In other words, the vaunted free will of man is free to sin. It is moved by a principle inherent within him that is wicked, is as wicked as the devil himself. As dark as outer darkness. It is the principle of unrighteousness. That's the controlling principle of the unsaved. So that they gladly receive the lie and obey the dictates of sin, while they blithely reject God's revealed truth. Perhaps that's where you are tonight. I said I had put in your hands the tool of knowing and finding out exactly where you stand with God. And I'm going to repeat that to you, because from what I have said, you listen to me. You cannot go out through those doors tonight saying, I don't know. For most assuredly you do. Most assuredly you do. If this contentiousness is at the root of your being, rejecting what the Bible says, what God has to say about the revelation of sin, selfishly excusing yourself, oh, you can judge Christians. I've met very few sinners that aren't very quick to judge Christians and tell them how the Christian life ought to be lived and what dirty little hypocrites they are for not living it right. I've met plenty of those. The reality is, they're not a bit interested in how those Christians live. It's a dirty little scheme to cover up their own sin. They reject God's remedy for their sin. What a remedy. I've already spoken somewhat on the justifying grace of God that we receive by faith. A faith indeed that is the gift of God. It's all of grace. A remedy that takes us to the cross, that shows us God incarnate, crucified for our salvation, shows us the fountain of his blood shed for our reconciliation with God and our pardon from guilt and the shame of our sin. What a remedy. You remember Isaac tied up, laid upon an altar with the blade, the dagger of death about to descend and plunge into his heart, and God says, there's a substitute. What kind of a fool would you describe Isaac as being if he had said, away with the sacrifice, away with the substitute. I'm a free man here, and I choose to be bound to this altar, and I choose to die. Man, you'd say that man is a fool. Yet that's what some of you have done for years and continue to do tonight, rejecting not only the revelation that God gives of your sin, but the remedy he sets before you in the precious blood of his own dear Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God announces his retribution on sin, you argue about that too. I don't believe God would send me to an everlasting hell. And you, a man who didn't believe that God would ever allow men to stand on the moon. And when the films came, the shots, the astronauts on the moon, he said it was just done in a Hollywood studio. God wouldn't allow it. They made a big enough mess of the earth, and he wouldn't let them mess up another place. That was his thinking. He believed it sincerely. Didn't change the fact that God allowed men to stand on the moon. We may smile at his naivety, but some here tonight are not only more naive, but more dangerously foolish. For God has said, I will bring every work into judgment. God has said it. And you dare to say, I don't believe it. These terms show you the heart of the unsaved. And it's very interesting to me that they rebel against all that God says about the very things that he sends his Holy Spirit to witness most about to the hearts of men. When Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, he said when he's come, he will reprove or convict or convince the world of what? Of sin. Of righteousness. And of judgment. Of sin. Of the remedy for sin. And of judgment upon sin. And those are the very things that sinners fight with God most about. So that those who reject his witness continue in the service of unrighteousness, according to Romans chapter 2, will receive in eternity what they have earned in time. Remember what I said? What you do now has consequences. The wages of sin is death. There's a great American preacher preached a sermon. Dr. Paisley liked the title. He didn't preach the sermon, but he liked the title. And he preached another great sermon with the same title. On Romans 6:23. Payday someday. Payday. The wages of sin is death. And verses 8 and 9 then describe those just deserts, those wages of sin, in a fearful way. The words that Paul uses here are indignation and wrath, and then tribulation or affliction and anguish, or we could translate that distress. Indignation and wrath. Wrath is the just displeasure of God. Indignation is the fiery fury of that displeasure. Some people preach about hell as if the worst part of it were the fire. I don't want to lessen the impact of what the Bible talks about when it describes the fires of hell. But let me tell you what gives the fury, what gives the agony, what gives the bitterness to the sufferings of the damned in hell is the realization that they now cannot escape, that they had argued against and they had fought against and they had dismissed and rejected all their lives, but now they're confronted with it, and every second that passes throughout eternity, it is hammered home with unrelenting force to their heart. I am suffering the just displeasure of God. This is not an accident. This is not some cosmic disaster. This is not the fallout of some great event over which we had no control. This is the just displeasure of God. The God who created me. The God who said, I have written unto him the great things of my law, and they were counted as a strange thing. The God who sent his own dear son to die that I might never be in hell. The God who stretched out his arms on Calvary's cross in an embrace that could embrace the world. That's the God I'm talking about. I am suffering the just displeasure of a holy God, wrath and indignation. When Paul said to the Hebrews, chapter 10, 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He was giving another description of the indignation, of the fury. I cannot describe it. And if I could, I think it would so distress both preacher and listener, we'd be paralyzed with fear. The fury of offended deity. Go back to Mount Sinai when God was just, and I say just not to demean it, but he was just giving the law. He was not executing its everlasting judgment yet. But even in the giving of the law by which we will be judged. And he came down in Mount Sinai. I'm told that the whole mountain burned with fire. The thunders rolled, the heavens roared, the earth shook. And the people heard, and they cringed in fear, and God said, do not let even so much as an animal touch the mountain. It would mean certain death. If that was on earth at the giving of the law, what will it be when those who have been contentious, selfish, disregarding of every word that God has ever said and every benefit God has ever given, when they stand finally before God, what will it be when they stand before him who is, Paul says, a consuming fire? He tells us they receive tribulation, affliction, and anguish or distress. Could I put it this way? Wrath speaks to me of God's revulsion against sin and sinners. Indignation speaks to me of God's repulsion of sin and sinners. Tribulation and anguish describe the experience of that wrath by the sinner. What an old Church of England bishop called the crushing and bewildering power of great grief or pain. This describes the wages of sin. And this is the punishment that sinners earn by their lives. You've heard me quote the text before. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Never forget it. You can mock a preacher, and I have no doubt there are times when some of you have. So what? You can mock a doctrine. And again, I have no doubt that some of you have. But you will not mock God. You may deceive a preacher. You may deceive a whole church. But you will not deceive God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.